Welcome to the Graveyard Girls podcast with Amelia and Natasha.
This is our witch trial season.
Yes, episode 2. Now, it is episode 2, but for those of you that have only listened on our free podcast platforms, obviously to you, this will appear as the first episode. So basically, this is a part 2 to the history of witch trials and how it spread. So if you want to listen to the first part, you will need to go over to Patreon and sign and subscribe up to that. You will need to subscribe at least to the second tier, because the first tier is just support for our show. It won't unlock the episodes. So that's just something worth noting, just in case people get a little bit confused. And then obviously, those people that are already our Patreons, you're okay, because you've already have access to the first episode. And hopefully you've had a chance to listen to it. If not, I suggest you do that one. You pause this and go back and listen to that one first. But yeah, basically,
as a brief recap, basically all the trials have a knock-on effect on other countries having their own.
Yeah, and we wanted to touch on individual countries, basically because they deal with them slightly differently, depending. There's obviously in mainland Europe, it's basically they're very similar. But as you branch out into other European countries, it's a mixture of they're dealt with differently, but also the accusations of witchcraft are quite different. I think you tend to see certain trends in certain countries. So we thought it was worth mentioning a bit different, because not every country was the same.
No.
So yeah, I thought that was worth mentioning. But I'll let Natasha has some European ones to touch on first, as a continuation of the European ones I did last week. So
yes, I will touch on the Icelandic and Finnish trials in a different episode.
Yeah, as one of your individual cases.
Yes, because they're quite unique in the way that they are, so they are one episode.
Okay.
So today I am kicking off with the Danish trials.
Okay.
So in Denmark, around 1,000 individuals were executed as witches.
Oh, not good.
Though the practice of witchcraft itself emerged as part of Danish culture as early as 1100.
Oh, quite early on then.
Witch hunting hysteria peaked during the 16th and 17th century.
Okay, so quite
as with like
classics,
the rest,
yeah.
When the Protestant Reformation was in full force.
Okay.
Again, which is
in
similar
line
to
with a lot of the others.
Yeah. These Danish trials led to the Scottish trials, as King James of Scotland was attempting to marry Princess Anne of Denmark.
Oh.
But storms were preventing them.
I do remember this. I have heard of this before.
So I will touch more of that in the Scottish episode. So Denmark's Christian the IV introduced an ordinance, quote, against witches and their accomplices in 1617.
Okay.
The legislation prohibited all forms of magic, benevolent as well as malevolent, and emphasised the public's obligation to denounce witchcraft to the courts.
Okay.
During the 8 years following the ordinance, Denmark's number of witch trials increased, with the accused individuals burned at the stake roughly every 5 days.
Really? Yeah.
Mm. Witch hunts only fell in popularity in the second half of the 17th century, when scepticism among the upper classes precipitated their decline.
Ah, so that was similar to that Spanish one that I touched on last week, in terms of, I suppose, the upper class are supposedly more educated.
Yeah.
And I think it's those that probably bring it into question.
Well, yeah, think of it this way as well. You get rid of all the poor people, who's next?
Yeah. Yeah, the rich ones. So exactly. We need to stop it now before it gets to us.
So I don't know if they're doing it out of the goodness or of their own heart, or they're like,
oh,
who's next?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it like that. But it was interesting as well how, going back to what you mentioned about the Scottish and the Danish, I'd obviously mentioned previously as well about the other countries crossing over and their leaders. I think that has a big influence on how it's spread between countries, because they obviously make a lot of allegiance, don't they? It's quite common for the like kings and princes and princesses all
to marry into other
countries,
yeah,
to supposedly keep the peace. But I think with them, they also bring a lot of their ideas.
Yeah.
Which
it disrupts. Especially, it's always the Protestants that it's like, there's a thing that if that happens, then there's going to be a witch hunt.
Yeah.
It's very common.
Yeah. Yeah. It's massively religion based as well.
I don't know. It's like you said, we can judge them because it's in the past.
Yeah. But I think we forget, because you look at that time, like, everyone was religious. Mm-hmm. So whereas you look at in comparison to now, yes, obviously there's still a lot of religion,
yeah,
and these groups are big groups, but in comparison to the whole population, there's a massive part of our population that is not religious in any way, shape or form. Therefore, the things like religious preachings don't reach us. We don't follow it. We have other ideas.
No, I think it's also we're allowed to think for ourselves.
Yeah, that's
whereas different. Then it's like if you're thinking for yourself, then therefore you're different. Therefore, you're a witch.
Yeah, you could be doing something wrong. Yeah, effectively, you've got to be a sheep, haven't you? And you've got to follow everyone else.
Essentially, this is what the trials are mostly for, to keep everyone in line.
Yeah, that's exactly that.
Is what it is. So the Copenhagen Witch Trials of 1590 was the first major trial in Denmark.
Okay.
It resulted in the execution of 17 people by burning.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to be burned alive.
No. I think that's the difference. With the British trials, they were hung.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you are
the European, the most, sometimes they're burnt alive, sometimes they're hung, then burnt.
Right, okay. I think I'd rather be hung than burnt.
Yeah, you don't want to be alive and burnt. No, it's not nice.
I don't know, because does smoke inhalation get you quicker than the flames? Like, I suppose it'd hurt your feet, like you get blistery feet. But then does a fire take hold so quickly, like the smoke, does it sort of knock you out? I'm not sure I'm willing to find out.
I don't want to find out, no. That sounds like the most painful way to go.
If anyone's done any scientific experiments, could they maybe let us know?
Don't let us know. I don't want to know. They've probably...
Someone somewhere has done that experiment.
Yeah, but someone alive or an animal that was alive.
Yeah, so they're saying how quickly smoke inhalation would make you pass out.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, but I do, because if it's quite quickly, then it might be better than being hung. Because hanging can still take minutes. But if the smoke inhalation gets you... Because I suppose it depends how high you are up on the stake, because a lot of them, they had the lots of little stakes to go around, so the fire starts going, but it doesn't get to you straight away. So would the smoke rising from that bottom bit knock you out before the flames start burning your flesh?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I imagine they do it so they... Not douse you, but they kind of, like, put the fire near you. Oh, yeah,
forgot. Like, not petrol, but, like, well, it would have been the equivalent of similar oils, wouldn't it? Yeah. Paraffin, yeah. I think was the word I was looking for. Anyway, I'll let you crack back on with your case.
So, the Copenhagen trial... This is the trial that connects to the North Berwick trials in Scotland with the marriage of King James and Princess Anne. And obviously storms prevented them from travelling, and as Anne was in Norway due to the storms, James managed to get to Norway and then they married there instead of Scotland. And when they tried to return back to Scotland, more storms beset them. So in their minds, they're like, what's preventing us from getting back? Witches.
Yeah.
They're like, they're preventing me from marrying. And I'll touch more in that on the in the episode. But yeah, it's all to do with these storms, basically. Yeah. Which kicked off many people dying in Scotland.
Yes, that was a big one.
Yes. At this point, witch trials had been small in Denmark since the case of Dorothea Nippers in 15...
Sorry, I knew
that's why I paused. I knew that was going to make you laugh. Dorothea Nippers in 1571. She was a widow and had a daughter. She was a successful hawker, which is basically like a little market stall.
Oh.
That you can easily like pick up.
And... I thought she said she was going to have big birds of prey.
I thought she was going to have hawks, yes. But no, it's like basically like a market, but you put it down on a blanket so you can easily like pick it up and then take it with you.
Okay.
Okay. And then she...
Oh, sorry. Maybe that's where the hawk thing came from, because birds swoop down and like just pick it up and then swoop off.
Oh.
Maybe that's where it came from.
Maybe.
That would make sense.
That would make sense.
If it's not that, I've just decided it is that now.
That's a good... No, that's a good fact. You just made one up. And it turns out that Dorothea was the leader of a gang of businesswomen known as Dorothea and her gang.
I quite like the sound of these.
I do, yes, I do quite like that. And obviously because she was a successful hawker.
She was sexual.
I know, that's why I was... Because she was a successful hawker and had her own little gang, this led to competition with her male counterparts.
Oh, of course.
Okay. And in 1551, she was accused of not paying her taxes and put on trial.
Okay.
She defended herself and won. So yeah, she sounds really good.
She sounds quite powerful.
In 1571, she was again sued for illegal business transactions. However, this time, The charge included witchcraft, and she was accused by a fellow female hawker named by Catherine Lass Munch.
Munch.
Yes. Obviously, she denied the charges, and she was also denied being involved in the 1551 case, which destroyed her credibility. So this contributed to her guilty verdict, and it was assumed she was lying about not being a witch.
Right.
So she shouldn't have lied about not being accused of not paying her taxes back in 1551.
Because now, yeah, she's tainted herself.
Yes. Catherine was freed because of the support of her family and other character witnesses, but Dorothea was burned at the stake in late 1571.
Oh no.
The rest of the Danish witch trials are poorly documented, with the exception of the 1609 to 1687 period. The most intense period in the Danish witchcraft persecutions was the Great Witchcraft Hunt of 1617 to 1625.
Okay.
Where most executions took place. A new witchcraft act was introduced in 1617. This act sorted sorcery crimes into two categories.
Okay.
Those using magic without associating with the devil should be exiled.
Right.
While those who consorted with the devil and who had made a pact with him should be executed by burning, regardless if they had performed magic or not.
Oh, okay.
Between 1609 and 1687, 494 witchcraft executions were conducted on Jylland, the majority of them, 297 to be exact, took place during the years of 1617 to 1627.
So what's that decade?
Just under. After the witch panic of the 1620s, the cases became fewer, likely because the prime victims were during the Great Witch Hunt had been marginalised people considered odd and reportedly to be involved with sorcery, and obviously these people were all killed, so left fewer of these people to be accused.
Yes.
Which goes back to the
your previous point.
Yes. Between 1656 and 1687, only one person was executed for sorcery on Jylland. 1686, the local courts were banned from performing executions without confirmation from the High Court. Anne Pales, who was executed in Copenhagen in 1693, is reported to be the last person executed for sorcery in Denmark. She's the last person to be executed, but she wasn't part of the last Danish witch trial.
Okay.
The last large witch trial in Denmark was the Thisted trial of 1689. Several women were sentenced to death because they were accused of using sorcery to cause fits. After the fits were proven to be false, the condemned were freed. After that, the Danish authorities were reluctant to accept any more charges of witchcraft.
Okay.
Okay. And that's what I have from the Danish trials.
Okay. Yeah, no, those ones I feel are quite a big mixture of a lot of other countries, because especially like the French from the Spanish was very different, but I feel like this is a real mix of all of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know, they still went on at the same time, didn't they? So I don't know. Yeah. Is it a big travelling sort of, is it a country that a lot of people travelled through or to and from? So is that where it's come from, the ideas?
Maybe, I don't know. This is the thing, like you said, because with the Holy Roman Empire, the borders are not what we think they are now. So there's lots of different things, but there's so much little detail of these trials that this is all the information I could find.
Yeah.
So that it's very poorly documented.
I suppose it depends how seriously they took it as well, isn't it?
But like I said, because there was less people to accuse, it was like, well, we better start doing something, otherwise we'll be accused next.
Yeah, we're next.
Yeah.
No, that does make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So next I'm going to bring us on to the Canadian witch trials.
I've never heard of any Canadian.
Canadian American are very scarce in comparison to others, and they're also much later on in comparison. So obviously traditionally all the European ones started in like late 13th, early 14th century. These are very late in because they don't come until the 17th century. So Canada had very little records of witch trials. So I suppose you could argue that it's just a case of they weren't recorded. But In 1616, New France, which is now Canada, a series of raids, plagues, and other misfortunes were affecting a tiny population of 3,200 people. So there's really not many people populating Canada at this point.
No.
It's a very small amount, isn't it?
There'd be some natives.
Yeah.
Native people. But the colonizers, there'd be very few. That's probably why there's not many witch trials.
Yeah, to be fair, that's a good point.
They're probably like, we only have five people, we can't.
We can't execute them. A recent earthquake had hit what is now Montreal, and accounts written by a nun, Marie, talked of disturbing voices in the air, as well as a fiery canoe in the sky and other strange phenomenon.
A fiery canoe?
A fiery canoe.
Okay.
And she wrote a letter to, obviously this was to help back up the records, and it stated, what she wrote was, It was discovered that there are sorcerers and magicians in this country. So that directly links it back to the witch trials that have come over from France. So they've now been discovered in Canada. So they're definitely there.
She is saying that they brought them with them. Yes. And not the native people.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've come over. So she noted that the earthquake and strange happenings had occurred after the arrivals of ships carrying new colonists. It's because you're not... It is colonists, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you come from here.
Because you're not supposed to be over there.
Yes.
It's a warning against you, not them warning you.
Well, I think at this point, like, so I suppose in a part she is doing a good job in noting it down. But also I don't think she accepts that her own country is part of the problem.
Yes.
So on that ship was a 16-year-old girl named Hallie and a man named Daniel Vuel. Now, I couldn't get a second name for Hallie, so... She's just known as Hallie. He was a Daniel Vuel was a Protestant-born Frenchman who had apparently converted to Catholicism during the voyage. According to some, Daniel had tried to seduce Hallie on the ship on the way there, but she turned him down.
Mm-hmm.
Once they reached Beauport, which was near Quebec City, Daniel carried on his trade as a miller, and Hallie went on to work as a servant in a manor house. In December that year, the house where she worked soon fell prey to strange phenomenon.
Yep.
Some claimed stones were flying from all sides of the house, thrown by invisible hands.
I know where this is going.
Yep. Hallie then started to experience demonic visions. So this is where it starts to get a little bit different and not exactly what I was expecting. I thought they were going to accuse Hallie of being a witch.
Oh.
But they're not. No.
Oh, okay.
Hallie then... at first, the people thought the house was haunted. Hallie moved, but the visions carried on. Local priest Francois de Laval ordered an exorcism, but this was unsuccessful. Hallie was then taken into a hospital, which was run by a convent. In the meantime, the colony's authorities came to the conclusion that Hallie's demons had been brought on by her fellow traveller, Daniel. Daniel was then arrested, so they're accusing him of witchcraft.
I honestly thought that he would be like, she turned me down, she's a witch.
Yeah.
I thought that's where it was going.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's basically, they're accusing him of being the witch.
This is interesting.
Yeah. The nun Marie viewed Daniel as a wizard, saying that he caused her demonic visions after she refused his advances. Bishop Laval, who had also travelled on the ship with the pair, said that he was the one who had converted Daniel to Catholicism. Yet once in Canada, it was discovered that Daniel was still a Huguenot, which is basically a French Protestant. This was a punishable offence by death, and Daniel was then shot on October the 7th, 1661, which is also an unusual death for witches, because they're traditionally either drowned or burnt at the stake or hung. So shot is very different.
I'm assuming it wasn't like a silver bullet.
No, because that's for vampires, isn't it?
Yeah. Vampires, werewolves? I don't know.
It could be.
The same thing.
It could be. So Hallie continues to suffer from her visions, even once they've shot Daniel. And so basically it doesn't cure the problem. Another case was that of Anne Lamoureux in Montreal in 1682. She was accused of possessing a book of spells. Protected by her friends in high places, she narrowly escaped the sentence of banishment. So for her, her status, if you like, meant that she escaped. Now, there was a couple of others, but it just listed names, not what they were accused of doing. And it also didn't list a sentence. So I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if it even went to trial or not. So yeah, I don't really know what happened in that. But yeah, there wasn't really anything in Canada. But again, I think only the French colonies have only just started going over. So is that the reason? Like I said, in a population of 3,200, it's not many, is there? Plus all these people have gone in search for new lands, probably escaping the previous witch trials. So I don't
think... Yeah, they're like, don't bring that over here.
Yeah, and I think as well, things are probably good. They've gone to a new land, there's good land. They're maybe not experiencing the same issues like famine and poverty and disease that the old countries were. So yeah, so maybe that was a big factor in why the witch trials didn't take hold over there, maybe. So next, I'm going to bring us on to the American trials. Now, Salem is obviously one of the best known ones in America, mm-hmm. and that witch started in 1692. But there was other trials happening in America.
You don't hear about the other ones.
You don't.
No.
I really struggle. When I was researching this, because we split it between them, I was like, oh, you do British, I'll do American to start with. And I was like, it'll be fine, there'll be a shit ton of stuff on America. And all it was Salem, Salem, Salem. And I was like, there must have been others.
Even when I was doing research for like the witch hunters, it kept taking me to Salem. It's like, no, I need...
Other ones.
Even the witch hunters that I was looking at, it was the one specific one.
Yeah.
Which is the witch finder general.
Yeah.
So that took me some time to find some other witch hunters.
Yeah. So,
but everything's linked to Salem, and I get it, but there's more to it than that.
So, and there was other ones. They were. It just took quite a while to find the information, and it's not brilliantly recorded.
No. Which is consistent without all the other things.
Yeah.
The German ones, like I said, are the ones that are like the most documented ones I've ever seen. Literally.
But is that just how they choose to run their country? Are they just so much better at recording stuff? I don't know.
Possibly.
Do they see it as more relevant?
I don't know.
Maybe they're not scared to hide their...
crimes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the first was not Salem, and it happened in 1647, and that was one in Connecticut. The first execution was that of Alice Young in Hartford's Meeting Square. This was now the site of Connecticut's old state house. So that's what, if you went to today, that's what you'd be able to see.
Mm-hmm.
So she was executed on the 26th of May, 1647. Alice had moved to Windsor in the late 1630s with her husband, John Young. She would go on to have a daughter, also named Alice, who would also be accused of being a witch 30 years later in Springfield, Massachusetts, though she was not hung. Okay. Obviously, Massachusetts being part of the Salem trials. There aren't any detailed records of the trial, and so it's not sure exactly why she was accused of being a witch. Some, though, did suggest that she simply was picked at random and used as a scapegoat, as there had been a recent spike in deaths linked with influenza, and the elite were looking for someone to blame. This would be the beginning of the Connecticut witch trials. There were a total of 37 cases, 11 in which resulted in executions. Key figures in these trials also included Mary Johnson. She was the first recorded confession of witchcraft. She had worked as a servant and was accused of theft in 1648. After extensive torture and interrogation, she confessed to the familiarity with the devil. She also confessed to having sexual relations with him, with men and devils, and to murdering a child.
Mm.
So,
see, that's consistent with the European ones.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, her execution was delayed as she was pregnant during the imprisonment. Her execution date was later on the 6th of June, 1650. So, then in 1662, in Hodiford, Connecticut, in late March, John and Bertha Kelly grieved the loss of their 8-year-old daughter, Elizabeth. Elizabeth had been fine just a few days before when she returned home with a neighbour, Goodwith Ayres.
Goodwith.
Goodwith. Mm. The distraught parents, grasping at any explanation of the sudden and unexpected loss, claimed it must have been at the hands of the devil. The parents would go on to claim that their daughter had been possessed by Goodwith. They testified that their daughter had been fine until she had returned home with Goodwith. They claimed that Elizabeth had screamed the words, "Father, Father, help me, help me. Goodwith Ayres is upon me. She chokes me. She kneels on my belly. She will break my bowels. She pricks me. She will make me black and blue." So then Goodwith and her husband fled before she could be put to death. So this then brings me on to the trial. I confused myself.
No, that's weird. So how old is Goodwith? She's not the same age as the daughter then?
No, she's older. She's
an older woman.
Yeah.
Is she babysitting her then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I don't... I think she's still young, unless I'm mistaken, she's in her early 20s.
Mm.
So she... yeah, I think she's taking care of the child. They've gone away for a bit. They've done some stuff. Then they've come back.
Yeah.
And she's blamed Goodwith.
See? Another kid.
Yeah.
The kid's probably... Is the kid... I'm assuming the kid is clearly ill because they
and
die.
And obviously she dies. But then is she been visited by a priest initially, and that priest is a bit biased.
Who were you with yesterday?
And
she's like, Goodwith. Also, Goodwith is a strange name.
I've never heard that before.
Goodwith.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's a lot of American ones that are like, called like Goody and things like that.
But I've heard of Goody. Ah.
Yeah, and there was, I can't remember, there was another one that was strange, and I was thinking, it's like what I'd relate to emotion. It wasn't a happy, it was, I can't remember what it was. I'm sure I'll touch on it later, but yeah, there was a few I looked at and I thought, oh, that's a funny name.
Obviously, the parents were grieving, so they're looking for basically someone to blame.
Yeah.
And Goodwith was the way to go.
Yeah, the scapegoat, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So that then brings me on to the trial of Catherine Harrison. She was a former maidservant of Captain John Cullick and a widow of the Westfield town crier. Yeah, and a widow of the Westfield town crier. She was born in England and had come to America in 1651.
Okay.
She became wealthy and she inherited when she inherited the estate. That was a sum of £1,000 after the death of her husband. So £1,000 then is a hell of a lot of money now.
It's probably like 30 million.
She experienced several legal issues, including the death of livestock and destruction of crops. Though her losses were supported by eyewitnesses, she received no compensation. In 1668, she was sued for slandering Goody Griswold. Brilliant name.
It's a good name.
Between 1668 and 1669, she was then accused of witchcraft. Accusations against her included breaking the Sabbath, fortune-telling and using black magic, as well as appearing in spectral form to other people. She was also accused of calling to the devil by the swamp. I don't know. I just imagine her stood in a swampy bit going, devil, devil, come here, devil, are you there?
Yeah. It's weird.
I don't know. Is he just going to appear?
Maybe she's just feeding some swans and someone's like...
In the swamp?
I don't know.
It's full of crocodiles.
Not in Connecticut.
Okay, maybe not. I don't think the swans are in a swamp.
No, I was just trying to think, what would you feed in a swamp? Bigfoot. You're trying to feed... I don't know.
It's creepy crawlies because it's hot, isn't it? And we're swamp. That's why it's swampy.
Yeah, that's why I can't think there's a swamp in Connecticut. That's not relating to me.
I don't know. I suppose, though, it wasn't really heavily populated then, so the landscape would have been very different to what it is now.
True. You sure it wasn't just a pond?
It probably was, but it's been listed as a swamp.
Okay.
Big stinky pond. So then, on May the 11th, she was put into jail to await trial. There were several complications. First, the jury never reached a decision. Then the second jury found her guilty, but the magistrates disagreed. She was then released from prison, banished from Connecticut. Her and her family would relocate to New York. Catherine would then be the last to be accused in the Connecticut trials.
Oh.
The biggest witch trial, of course, is Salem in America, which started in 1692. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail on that here because I actually have a whole episode dedicated to that.
Yeah.
So I don't want you to think I'm just brushing over it. So the last recorded charge of witchcraft would be that of Lucretia Brown in May 1878 in Salem, but she wasn't part of the original Salem trials.
Okay.
So it's still... I think the reason you struggle so much with the Salem stuff is because they maybe used... From what I can work out, they used Salem to do all of the trials. So I don't think it's a case of there wasn't any other else like that later one. It's just not... She wasn't part of the original Salem trials, but I think, I don't know, was that the place you went to execute people?
Maybe. That's probably like the city.
Yeah, so like I said, the Connecticut one was obviously a bit different, but other than that, the really, in terms of mainland America, there was nothing. Right. So this then brings me to New Mexico.
Oh.
So that then brings me on to the Navajo Witch Purge of 1878, which is very late on in comparison. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was thinking when you said New Mexico. They haven't spread all throughout America yet.
Yeah.
So it would be the Native Americans, so Navajo.
Yes. So initially evolved from cultural response to many people moving into their lands in 1864. A series of wars broke out between the US Army and the Navajo.
Mm-hmm.
People of Navajo were expelled from their land and forced to march to New Mexico in what is known as the Long Walk to Navajo.
Mm-hmm.
There, people suffered from bad water, failed crops, illness and death, reducing their numbers dramatically. After 4 years, the government finally admitted that they had made a mistake and Navajo people were allowed back. Once they returned, people's conditions improved, but when a collection of witch artifacts wrapped up in 1868, in the 1868 treaty were discovered, the tribe's members unleashed deadly consequences. The Navajo witch purge would then occur in 1878, which was nearly a decade later.
I've never heard of this.
40 Navajo people suspected of being witches were killed in order to restore harmony and balance in the tribe. So, but it's coming from within the tribe, not the government. Yeah, from what I could make out.
Okay.
So the Navajo culture does not accept witchcraft and will not tolerate it. Their laws have always said that when a person becomes a witch, they have forfeited their humanity and their right to exist, so they should be killed.
Are the Navajo the ones who believe in skinwalkers?
Yes.
Okay.
And I want to do an episode on them witches. Soon, yep. Because they're really, really interesting. Because I was torn between doing that and my werewolf trials before we had the thing, and I was like, no, I'll do the werewolf trials first. But yeah, their skinwalkers are cool, so I'll do a whole episode on them.
I researched something with skinwalkers before I did this with you, and in my research I discovered that they don't like it when you talk about skinwalkers. Like, it offends them.
Okay, I'll have to look into
that. So you can do that if you want.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's... this one was interesting. So from what I can work out, basically, the Navajo people were sent out.
Mm-hmm.
The American government did later accept that they'd done something wrong and allowed them to effectively give them back their land.
I've heard of the Trail of Tears, where they made the Native Americans walk to different places and obviously people died along the way, but I've never heard of what was this trail called?
This was the Long Walk. Let me have a look. What's it called?
The Long Navajo Walk.
The Long Walk to Navajo.
Mm. Yeah, I've never heard of this
one. So, yeah. Which is weird, because it was actually away from Navajo, I think. No, it was to Navajo.
I think the people are Navajo.
Navajo. So, so effectively what happens, they were obviously then much later allowed back on their lands, and even though obviously conditions had improved, I think because it's effectively been a decade of some people been changed, you know, in the native tribes, like, they've maybe dispersed, maybe looked at how other people are now working the land and thought, oh, I kind of want to do that, but maybe it's a bit too modern and out of the original tribe's ideas, so they accuse them of witchcraft.
There are a few other tribes around, so yeah, maybe the other tribes are taking other little bits, and like you said, with the Europeans and stuff, yeah, they might be getting ideas from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so I thought that was quite an unusual
one. Yeah.
That then brings me on to Zuni witchcraft. Now, reports made in March 1855, Indians of the Nambe Pueblo in New Mexico butchered 3 men and a woman for alleged witchcraft. In 1880, an Indian agent reported seeing a man tied by his wrist behind his back and lifted so his feet couldn't touch the floor. So he was obviously recording what had happened. Others report the death of a woman accused of witchcraft, causing the death of an Indian man's child. Accusations got worse in August of 1889 after a drought. It was said that someone must be keeping the rain away. An old man was accused and he was hung by the wrists. After he confessed, he was then allowed down. He fled and a Mexican man took pity on him, giving him a home. The drought continued. Then in October, an old woman was hung up in the same manner until she confessed. She then implicated her nephew, a boy of 16 years old. He would be hung again in the same way, but he was let down several times and then beaten in the head with sticks.
Aww.
He was left all night and all of the following day until he died the following night. So his was a really dragged out death.
Yeah.
One gentleman had tried to cut the boy down at one point, but he was forbidden to interfere. So these ones, in terms of, I don't know whether that's just how they dealt with it at the time, but the torture methods are very different from the others. So they're not hanging them by the neck to kill them. They're hanging them by the wrists and effectively letting them dangle until they effectively give up and then confess to the crimes. And even then, like in the case of the boy, he was then beaten in the head, so... But then not beaten so much that he died straight away.
Yeah.
He was actually then beaten and then just left out to die slowly, which is, I think, even worse. I think in that case, I actually would prefer to be burned at the stake.
Yeah. I imagine being hung up by your wrist is going to really hurt eventually. Yeah, like, on your shoulders. Yeah, like the weight of yourself.
And and your pins and needles. Like, your feet would just go funny as well, wouldn't you? Yeah, I don't think I'd like that.
No.
I'd almost be scared as well. At one point, is my arm like actually going to fall off?
It's kind of a good torture method because you don't really have to do anything.
Yeah.
Just hang them and then, like,
nice. Let's
wait for them to talk.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd like that.
No.
But yeah, the US government then stepped in and stopped the Zuni public from torture and execution of witches, but some were still said to be killed in secret locations. The last public Zuni witch trials were in 1925, which is very late. It's very recent. It's not even 100 years ago.
No.
So I've got some extra interesting facts about the American witch trials.
Tell now, me.
Contrary to popular beliefs, no one was actually burnt at the stake during the Salem witch trials. The majority were hung, although one was crushed to death. And I'll go into detail a bit more on that in the actual case. But yeah, okay. It's a bit different. You look at the European.
They're all burnt.
At the stake. Mm. So things are dealt with very differently over here in America, or over there in America. The majority of accusers were girls under the age of 20. This is unexpected, as for the time, young women were not especially powerful in Puritan society, so it's significant that their testimonies were of young women were enough to turn the town.
It's probably because, like, oh, they're young, they're attractive, it's like they're turning the husbands.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think as well, it was seen as they were quite maybe pure.
Pure.
So they wouldn't lie, I think, is a big part of it as well. And easy for the church to use.
Yeah, it is very different to the English ones with their usually old women.
Yeah.
Yeah, who are described as ugly because that makes you a witch. So.
Yeah. No, this is the accusers.
No, yeah, no. Mm, okay. Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Because in the American tribes, basically, effectively, they use a lot of girls to go around towns picking out the accused.
Oh, so they wouldn't lie, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a bit different. But, yeah, then in American courts, they allowed spectral evidence. Many innocent people were put to death based on spectral evidence. Now, spectral evidence is where a witness describes the harm a spirit has inflicted on them rather than the accused themselves. So they're blaming a spirit for doing it, but they say the witch conjured the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the prison basement in Salem, that was known as the witch jail. The basement was essentially the dungeon for the accused. The imprisoned there were often starved and tortured.
Yeah.
Then the youngest ever accused witch in America was only 4 years old, and that was Dorothy Good. She was the daughter of the accused Sarah Good, who was a main one in the Salem trials. She was said to be deranged and animalistic after consorting with the devil.
She's a child.
Yeah. Dorothy supposedly confessed her crimes and was supposed to have claimed to see her mother with the devil. She was imprisoned for 7 months. She was eventually released during her time in the jail, her mother was hung. So she didn't get released along with her mum. Her mum's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they can even consider convicting a 4-year-old or how they can say a 4-year-old even confessed.
No.
I don't get it.
I don't like that at all. I've never heard of a 4-year-old being accused of being a witch. How the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not good.
I mean, they're probably little demons and stuff at times, but they're not witches.
Yeah, I think a lot of it in this case was the fact that the mum was a witch, so had she passed it on. Yeah.
But that's not always the case.
No, it's not.
No.
But I'm wondering if at the time, because she was quite early on in the Salem trials, I wonder if it was you know, because beginning of it, it was something else to throw out there. Like, you think a lot of people in America, they didn't have ideas. They didn't know about the European trials. It was only those mainly accusing and the secular courts. So yeah. It was a case of they could almost impose anything they wanted, because to American people, they didn't really know. Oh, they obviously knew what a witch was, but they didn't know the harm and specifically the things that they would do to cause harm. So okay. It was open to interpretation, if you like.
Yeah.
Five people died whilst awaiting trial in the 1692 Salem trials. Most of those deaths were a result of malnourishment and injuries.
Mm-hmm.
One of those included the infant child of Sarah Good, named Mercy. She was born in prison but died shortly after birth. So she is the sister of the 4-year-old. So Sarah Good, she ends up dying herself, but one of her daughters is imprisoned and the other one dies shortly after birth. When she gives birth to in prison, and I feel like the conditions of prison has a lot to answer for that. Like, I know infant death is quite high,
but
already being born in prison, I feel like you're at a disadvantage.
You're stressed.
Yeah,
it's not good for a baby. It's unclean.
And it didn't say whether she got separated from the baby, but even if she was with the baby, she's going to be malnourished herself because she's been tortured and left and starved.
She's not going to be able to feed the baby.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I wonder if that had an impact,
probably,
in the baby's death. Now, another fact is two dogs were also executed for their alleged contribution to the witchcraft rituals, which is what I touched on a little bit on the other one. They did use animals. So there is no exact figure for the deaths in American witch trials, but adding the Connecticut and the Salem trials together, only 38 actually died out of the hundreds accused. So in comparison to Europe, very few died.
It's minuscule. Yeah.
There obviously was more, but I just don't think they were documented. So,
yeah.
But yeah, in comparison, I think the big thing for me, especially when we go through Salem in my individual episode, yes, there was very little deaths, but the trials were massive. And for me, the trials were stupid.
It's the trials, yeah.
And they were the most stupid reasons as well. Whereas at least Europe, some of them, like, people had genuinely died. Basically now, for the European ones, a lot of them, you could look back and go, the person wasn't a witch. They could have been a murderer. Especially in a lot of the cases with the men. I think some of them had actually committed crimes, but they committed them on crimes under witchcraft.
Mm.
And actually, I think they were committing other crimes.
It's just... it's so hard to talk about because all these people died. Because of something made up.
Yeah. And it was, honestly, some of the accusations that I've seen as we go along is absolutely ridiculous. There was one that I looked at the other day, and she was literally put to death because she allowed... they said she slammed a door. She didn't slam the door. She was late to church, and you think the sound that a church door makes is very loud. Heavy. Yeah. And what had happened was, it obviously shook by itself. It must have been on a slight slant, however it was built. She was late to church, obviously tried to creep in, but she let the door go behind her, and it slammed. And the priest said she was summoning the devil because she was interrupting his service. So she was trying to consort with the devil to interfere his godly service.
But I thought a church was like consecrated ground. A devil can't go in the...
But yeah, so you made up the rule. Then put on trial solely for slamming the door, which apparently summoned the devil.
They made up the rule that the devil can't enter a church.
Yeah.
And then they make up the rule that, she's knocked on the door too loud, so the devil's coming. Which is
it? So not only, basically, they were just a bit pissed off that she was late.
Yes.
And she probably interrupted the middle of his sentence, and he was like, I'm not having this. I don't like it. She must probably be a witch.
And she probably turned him down, even though he's a priest.
Yeah, probably.
That's it.
There is another one as well. Hold on, let's get it out. I had a piece of paper with random things on.
It's just infuriating that this happened.
Oh yeah, this is it. There was one woman claimed her neighbour had bewitched her her oxen and caused beer to jump out of a barrel.
Okay.
There was then in another case where a man was accidentally shot by another man, but a lady by the name of Lydia Gilbert was sentenced to death after someone claimed she caused the incident through her witchcraft.
She didn't pull the trigger.
No.
Oh my god.
There was also another one that I looked at, and this was the best one, but I can't remember for the life of me what trial it was from, but I was just looking through funny witchcraft accusations. And a man fell out of a tree. He was climbing up it and effectively sat on a branch and it snapped and it fell out. And it, basically, he said the woman on the opposite side of the field broke the tree branch and caused him to fall out of the tree.
No, you're just too fat for the tree. You're a grown man. Stop climbing trees, you weirdo.
But I just like the idea that it's like, it couldn't be that he either lost his balance or
he hurt himself.
He sat on a shitty little twig.
He hurt himself. And he's like, you did this. And she's like, what?
But I like, she was probably like, she was literally on the opposite side of the field.
Yeah, so she probably didn't even hear him.
Yeah, she probably, I don't know, probably walking a dog or something. You look at it, it's absolute madness.
But yet, in a way, it's never changed.
No.
You just get accused of everything now, and it's just like, well, if anything, back then we would have been murdered just because.
We had definitely been put on trial. Yeah. We'd have been put on trial, come back to life as another witch, and then been put on trial again.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's absolute madness.
Nonsense.
Yeah, it is. It's very silly. But yes. So our next episode will be an individual case of mine, and that will be on Salem.
Okay.
And the next episode will be a Patreon one.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you that do want to follow all of our witch trials, you will need to sign up to Patreon to get that. But if not, we will have another free episode next Thursday. Week. Yes.
Yes.
So yeah, you can tune in for that if you like. But yeah, we're hoping you'd like to come join us over on Patreon.
You can get annoyed with us at the silly accusations.
Yeah. And it is, they really are very silly.
Mm.
But yeah, some interesting bits of the trials and other people. So yeah, we're going to cover everything. Like I said, next week we're also touching on things like the science behind witchcraft. We'll have another couple of individual cases. We're going to eventually look at modern day witchcraft, familiars.
Mm-hmm.
Then some of the most famous and our favourite sort of, but a bit like a top 10 of witches. And then we're doing a witch hunters episode as well.
Yes.
So that would be good. So hopefully you want to continue for that. But yeah, to be able to access those ones, you will need to be subscribed to Patreon. And as I said earlier, you'll need to select the second tier. Because the first tier is literally just for support. Mm-hmm. It won't unlock any of the episodes. So I don't want anyone to be disappointed by selecting the first one and then be like, I can't access any of the episodes. So yes, you will need to select the second tier in order to get that.
Yes.
But yeah, hopefully you've enjoyed episode two.
Yes.
And you will continue to join us, hopefully. So yeah, in the meantime,
keep creeping
and we'll keep digging.